Hey, friends.
How's it going?
So today we are talking about our baby being one.
Right? Like, how did that happen so fast?
I wrote it on Instagram the other day, and I just think that it bears repeating that it is the most true, overused cliche ever that it goes by so fast.
Well, and if you think about it, we've been at home because of the coronavirus, before, and then we went full time.
Right.
And so we've had the most time with him, and it still felt like it's gone so fast.
Yeah, that's so true. Like, we've had so much time with him.
We don't leave for 8 hours.
We don't ever leave him. Poor thing doesn't know anybody else. Yes. So anyways, we just thought we would go through some questions that we had asked to us. I posted on our Insta stories, like, what kind of questions do you want us to answer? And we have a few that we picked out that we just thought we would go through today.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, friends. We are Michael and Laura, a husband and wife wedding and portrait photography team based in Richmond, Virginia.
Welcome to our audio blog. Please comment and let us know what you think. And follow us on Instagram at Michael World Photography.
So the first one was, how does he sleep? What kind of sleep practices did you use? A bunch of people asked about sleep. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably because we post about it a lot.
We do.
And it's probably because it's a great point for us because he's such a good sleeper.
Yes, he is.
And we are obsessed with how we got him to sleep. Our sleep consultant, Becca from Little Z Sleep, we did her newborn program. My best friend gifted us her newborn program when we were, like, had just found out that we were pregnant because she used it with her daughter when her daughter was 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of, like, changed everything for her. And so she gave us the newborn thing so that we could just start from the very beginning.
Right.
And that was just, that was the best gift we received.
Yeah, I think so. I think especially starting from the beginning with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to. That's a great thing about Becca's program. But coming from, you know, an expectation that you're not going to get any sleep.
Yeah.
To be able to hit at, like, now I think it was 3 or 3.5 months to be sleeping through the night.
Like, you know, he was sleeping 12
like
hours.
He was
at
sleeping
that point.
Like from 7:30 to 7:30. Yeah. You know, and even before that, having a regimented system, even if it's only 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
Knowing that you have that system and, like, having someone to help you build that system,
right.
I think,
not having
is crucial.
Guess. Yeah, I feel like so much of this year has just been guessing. Like, I feel like parenthood, for us at least, or for me, I guess I shouldn't speak for you, has just been like, is this right?
Right?
Like, is this what I'm supposed to do? Like, is this what's best for him? Like, who knows? And I think especially with sleep, there's so many different practices that people think are, like, quote unquote, right.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, it was just really important to have a couple of things. And probably highest on that list was still be able to have time for us.
Right.
Like, when he started sleeping through the night, when we started putting him down and then could go downstairs and enjoy dinner together,
mm-hmm.
and sit on the couch and watch a movie or do whatever, it was just, like, life-giving for our marriage, I think.
Right.
Just being able to, like, have time together again after 3 months of, like, wondering, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And so definitely, you know, there's a right thing for everybody. And this might not necessarily be right for you,
mm-hmm.
but it was definitely right for us doing sleep training, and it just gave us our life back.
Right.
And I would definitely highly recommend it, but, you know, do what's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we did not co-sleep at all. He's mm-hmm. never been in our bed and will never be in our bed.
Unless we're taking pictures of him. And then he might be in our bed, but he's never sleeping in our bed.
That, very good. Becca's a huge, like, preacher of that, just, like, safe things. And I think that both of us are such hard sleepers that if he was asleep in our bed, like, I would be terrified.
Yeah.
Because we would sleep through anything.
We do.
Anyways, we did have him sleep in our room for the first almost 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved him into his nursery, and he's been in his nursery ever since.
Yeah.
So, that's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
For this whole thing, if you have other questions, just let us know.
Yes. Yeah, we love answering questions.
You can comment below or send us a DM on Instagram, and we'll try and answer it. But we'll link Becca and all of her stuff. She's a great resource also if you just, like, follow her on Instagram. Yeah. She has, like, a podcast and a YouTube channel, and she does a lot with, like, pediatricians and newborn, nutritionists and all kinds of different things to be able to get helpful information. So, if you have a little one or you're expecting, she's a great person to follow.
Yeah, and we, again, found her because of our friends. So if you have friends out there that, you know, are doing their own thing and they have something that you trust, then I think that's definitely a way to go.
Yeah, share what works.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one was, how has it been parenting during quarantine?
Mm, great question. Well, we don't know what parenting's like before quarantine, but...
that's a good point. Like... So he, in March, he was 3 months old, and so you're basically, like, not supposed to take newborns out. I think we, like, went to the mall one time, and that's pretty much all.
Right. So our biggest struggle with parenting during quarantine is making sure that he doesn't feel like we are the only two people in the world. I think that's my thought process. So, you know, through the summer, we were doing, you probably saw, we have, we started up a Monday Craftoons, thing again. Sorry. But so we love doing projects, and we're always doing projects. So we're outside our house a lot, especially in the front. And when we're outside with him, we try to, we're in a very, family oriented neighborhood. Yeah. So a lot of people are walking by, and we just basically try to get him to say hi from a distance.
Really, other people.
That's right. Yeah. So, I think that's my biggest fear, is that he's going to come through all of this and not know what other people are like.
Yeah. I think it's also been hard too, because I would have loved to do, like, a Mommy and Me class, or like, we wanted him to do swim classes.
Yeah.
So, like, things that, like, normal parents, or especially, like, stay at home parents, which we kind of are, pseudo sort of stay at home, we work from home, we haven't been able to do those things because of quarantine. So I feel like maybe we've missed out a little bit on that, but it's been nice to be able to be home and be able to, like, experience everything, because the day that quarantine started was the day I was supposed to return to work back to teaching from my maternity leave. And so I've been able to be at home for everything, which was just, like, this unexpected, really nice, just, like, bonus. Which sounds terrible because we're in a global pandemic, but it's been nice to be able to be home and not feel like I've missed things. Mm-hmm. I was a little worried, to be honest with you, like, before we knew that I was going to be able to be home, that Michael was going to be able to, like, experience all of these things while I was away at work. And I was going to be, like, super bitter about it. I'm not even going to front like I wasn't, because he was going to be able to stay at home. You know, he's been stay-at-home full-time photography for a while now, and I was going to finish the year with teaching, and now I'm just like, it would have been bad for our marriage. I would have been real bitter about that. And so it's just really nice that I've been able to be home. Like, I don't know how stay-at-home moms do it. I don't know how full-time working moms do it. Like, it's just such a hard, like, battle. And I think that, like, the world knows that, but it's even harder than you realize once you're in it. Mm-hmm. You can, like, get an understanding that all the sides of the coin are just tough.
Right. Yeah. I think the other thing with quarantine as well, that's we've seen a bit more, is that we kind of planned at the beginning of this to make sure that we could find some time once a month to get out and do something ourselves.
At the beginning of this, meaning the beginning of parenting.
Yes.
Not quarantine.
No. Right. So, obviously quarantine's changed that for us, because there's a lot of things you just can't go out and do anymore.
Right. We started the year saying that every month, and we scheduled with, like, the grandparents that they would come and babysit and we would have a date night. Mm-hmm. And I think we got two in.
We got one in February, I think. And then I think we might've done one in March.
I thought it was January, February. It doesn't matter. It obviously did not happen. So, yeah, being able to spend time, just the two of us, has been tricky. Just, like, how do you have a babysitter, or, like, how do you go out? Like, where do you even go?
Right. Like, who, if you're not talking about parents, who looks after your kid? You know, even parents. I mean, we trust our parents, and our parents are being careful. But, you know, you don't know.
Right.
It's still someone else that's coming into an environment that has been just the three of us, you know.
Yeah, coronavirus is definitely weird for everyone, but new parents, it's been, like, an extra little what do you do?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so our next question is, we got this from quite a few people. Did you buy a crib, a bassinet, a pack and play, you know, all those things for this small period of time where you might use them?
Yeah, we got a lot of questions about, like, what was helpful, like, big purchase-wise, I guess.
Yeah.
Especially related to, like, do you really have to buy a crib, a bassinet, and a pack and play?
Yeah.
Because it does seem like a lot.
It does. So we actually decided to put most of our investment of this into the crib because that's what he's spending the most time in.
Mm-hmm.
So we bought a new fancy, or not fancy, but some the crib that we
not
liked.
Fancy
that kind
at
of
all. Yeah.
It went with our, you know, our his room and made it look good.
Yeah.
But both the bassinet and the, well, I guess we bought the pack and play used, and the bassinet we actually borrowed from friends, which is a great idea.
Yes, the bassinet he was only in for those, like, 3 months that he was in our room.
Mm-hmm.
And really, if you didn't want to invest in that, you could just use the pack and play for that time. It's just, the bassinet was just easy because it's higher, you could put it right beside your bed, it's smaller, and it's easy to grab him out of. In the middle of the night for feedings and stuff. And then, yeah, the pack and play we bought off of a friend. So, yeah, definitely finding people that you know to be able to, like, swap or borrow or, you know, buy secondhand from was great for us. And then the crib, I think that you're going to use it for a lot longer than you think. If you go with Becca and, like, her sleep suggestions, and I think this is a suggestion for, like, way more than just people who are sleep training, you're supposed to keep kids in a crib for, like, up to 3 years. That's when they're, like, developmentally able to, like, understand, okay, so there's not, like, a physical boundary here, but I should still stay in this area. Before that, they, you know, if it's open, they'll just get up and leave. So we are planning to do that, knowing that we're going to use it for pretty much the full 3 years. It was a good investment for us. And it's not as expensive as you would think.
No, I think ours, we bought ours from Wayfair, and I think it was like $200 or $300.
And then she also recommends not ever using like a kid size bed, just switching straight to a twin or a full or even a queen if you have it.
Right.
So it's not like we're going to have to buy another sleep thing that he'll only use for a short period of time. Like the next bed that he'll have is like his bed.
Right.
So
I will say though, the crib we did buy is one of many that come with like a little attachment you can buy to turn it into
a transitional
bed where like it's got a frame for only one half of the side that he would come out of.
Yeah.
So if that was something that you were interested in and, you know, then I would look at those cribs that can do that transition.
I am pretty sure that the one that we got, it transitions to a twin though. So it's like it. Yeah. I have to check that.
We're not that far yet. We're still only on year one.
That's way in the future. But yes, I would have all three of those things. I think it's worth it. Definitely like a low end bassinet though. Like you don't need like the smooth that's going to like rock them to sleep. Or like some fancy crazy thing. I think that the bassinet that we borrowed was still like $50, you know, like under $100. So, when you think about it, it's not huge investments. And we also travel a ton.
We do.
So the pack and play has been super helpful to be able to bring with us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to be able to go to, like, if you follow us at all, you know, my parents have a house in the Outer Banks. So we go there pretty frequently. And we've also done, like, other vacations where we've been able to take that. So that's been super nice.
Mm-hmm.
Love the pack and play.
Yeah.
You need one.
Yeah.
So that's that.
The next question we got was, what did you guys do to prepare? So we read a bunch of books. Laura read most of them. I read half of one. But for us, what we didn't do, which you should definitely do, is pack your hospital bag well before when you think you need it. Because we didn't, and, I mean, we talked about this on the birth story, but we were not prepared to leave the house that day. And Laura's mom actually had to come back and pick some things up for us to have while we're in the hospital.
And clean up our terrible mess of the kitchen.
Right. Which is our other thing, which is preparing food also well ahead of time, not 2 days before, your due date. Even if your doctor says you're going to be induced 2 weeks later, don't listen to that. Because you don't know.
Okay. They don't know our story, my way. Well, no, they...
Well, yeah.
So, you can go listen to our whole audio blog on the birth story. But, yeah, we went to the doctor's appointment that morning. She said, oh, yeah, it doesn't look like you're going to, follow your due date. We'll induce you in a couple of weeks. We went home thinking we had a couple of weeks. Didn't have our hospital bag packed, decided to cook a ton of like freezer meals that day. And then I went into labor in the midst of that. So
yeah.
I was like in labor, in our bed, shouting to Michael, like, don't forget the onesie or, you know, like whatever, that he needed to pack like in between contractions. It was terrible. So go ahead and pack your hospital bag really early. I don't think that you need to follow the, like, what should you have in your hospital bag list,
yes,
because they're so long and you really don't need that much stuff. Like,
you need like five things.
Yeah. Like comfy clothes. Sorry. There he is. That's the 1 year old. You need like comfy clothes for you, comfy clothes for your husband. You know, anything you might want for those like first pictures,
mm-hmm,
a cute outfit, really one cute outfit's all you need. Like the rest of the time he was just like in a diaper and swaddle. But like we brought a letter board so that we could do like a cute little like welcome to the world picture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it. Like they'll give you everything. They'll give
yeah.
you the diapers and the blankets and the wipes and the cleaning, like they'll give
They're
you
a hospital.
It's a hospital, for Pete's sake. Anyways, you can go listen to that. And then, yeah, we did a bunch of freezer meals. That was super helpful. Although not as helpful as I thought it was going to be. You do have, like, quite a bit of time, just maybe not the energy to cook.
Mm-hmm.
But Michael and I love to cook, so it, like, wasn't that big of a deal.
Right.
I made a huge deal about making a lot of freezer meals, so we had, like...
I bet we still have something in our freezer. Just tucked in the back. I'm gonna look.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, like that wasn't as big of a stressor for us as it might be for some people, although we did have a ton of
mm-hmm.
meals, but we were using them for a while. Anyways, that is something that a lot of people do, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I read a bunch of books. People asked specifically about books. I read a few. I have an Audible account, so I, like, listen to a lot of books, like, going to and from work, which was nice.
I think it's definitely the way to go.
Definitely the way to go. I wanted there to be, like, a podcast I could listen to, but really didn't find one that I thought was good. So if you know of one, let me know, and I can share that. But I listened to a book called Strong as a Mother. That was more of like a mental health in going into motherhood type of thing. I read Bringing Up Bebe, which is like the French way of parenting, which
I
actually really
enjoyed.
I listened
to some of that too. That was quite interesting.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I read, a bit of The Happiest Baby on the Block, which is like the, Harvey Karp, like the book for like, you know, babying, which I just thought was a bunch of nonsense. I'm not a bunch
not
of nonsense.
Nonsense, but just not as
it was
helpful
repetitive
as you
things that I already knew. I guess maybe if you're like had never been around a newborn before, like it would be helpful. I didn't think it was super helpful, but some people swear by it, so maybe. And then I read like the book that the hospital or that the doctor's office gave us of like, here's what to expect, like kind of monthly. And then I read another one that was like, it was similar to Strong as a Mother. I'll have to link it. I can't remember. But it also did like some mental health things and like, you know, sort of more new age parenting. I don't know. That might not have been the right way to say that.
Oh yeah.
But anyways, I'll write them.
We're very new age parents.
Okay. Anyways, I will link them, but honestly, what I think is the most helpful thing that we did is we went on Instagram and found a bunch of like people who post about baby things.
Mm.
So we started following Little Z's. We started following like a baby nutritionist. We started following
Love Every
like different baby things, because that would just be like in my normal like scroll and I would just like learn a tidbit of information, or maybe they would share like a helpful article that I might go read, things like that. Especially if you're not a reader,
mm-hmm.
Those are good, easy things to like make yourself feel a little bit more prepared.
Right.
So I liked that. Somebody gave me that suggestion. I think that was Caitlin, one of my best friends, gave me that suggestion, and it was super helpful. So that I would definitely recommend going to go do.
Yeah.
I feel like I should also note that, like, not our lifestyle prepared us well, but, like, there are things that we have already experienced that prepared us well to be parents.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you don't know this, Michael and I spent 9 months in Kenya working at a children's home, and we shared a wall with the newborn nursery. So for months, we spent every night falling asleep to, like, 20 babies screaming.
That's why we would sleep through if Miles was in our bed.
We had trained ourselves well. I think that the sound of a baby crying is, like, overwhelming for a lot of new moms,
mm-hmm.
where we had kind of, like, not become numb to it, but, like, we were used to that.
Right.
I also am an elementary school teacher. So, like, a lot of, like, parenting things I've dealt with from families coming in and, like, talking to me about their experiences and their home life and all of that kind of thing. So, we were both stay-at-home parents. So, like, that's a huge one that you, like, have to, like, sort of navigate as new parents that we didn't really need to.
Mm-hmm.
So, we had set ourselves up well. I don't know.
We were fortunate enough.
But there are
also some things to think about that you're like, people, I think, talk about having to need to be mm-hmm. prepared for, but not. Like, your nursery. That's not something that needs to be done for your child to be born. You know, that they don't, for us, in our case, Niles didn't use his nursery for 3 months, and it wasn't done until probably 2 days before he started using that.
And even into that.
Right.
That's very true. I think our, like, temperament maybe is something that I sort of meant
mm-hmm.
when I was talking about, like, setting ourselves up well. Like, we're not really people to, like, worry about,
Things.
I do think that, you know, things that people might, like, harp on and really worry about and, like, spend a lot of mental energy on
mm-hmm.
are things that Michael and I would kind of let go.
Right. I think we're relatively level-headed, and I think when something happens, we just take a step back first before reacting, and I think...
Yeah, so if you listen to, or you can go back and listen to Niles' 6 month post, we talked a lot about his, like, medical issues when he was first born.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's okay, it's nothing major, but he had, like, a heart murmur when he was first born that we had to, like, get checked up on. He didn't gain weight well.
Mm-hmm.
It took him a long time to get back to weight, and I kind of struggled with making enough milk to feed him and to get him back up to his weight. So we had to add on formula, which, I mean, was hard, but I think that for some people it's a lot more of an emotional experience. And then there was another thing. Oh, he had RSV, which was very scary
mm-hmm.
And overwhelming. But again, like, you know, we knew the doctors had it. We felt confident in, like, our support system and all of those things. So, I don't know. There can be a lot, and I think that we were ready for it to be a lot, maybe.
I think it also helps that we were both home and could handle things together.
Yeah, definitely. We were, like, super blessed in the hand that we were dealt.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So the next one was, what are some must-have baby items?
Mm-hmm. Now, we did a whole blog post on our favorite items that we had for Niles, I think when he was about 3 months. So you feel free to go listen to that. But on the top of the list is a baby camera and a sound machine.
Yeah, some people specifically asked about our camera and how we picked that. But we did do the blog post on, like, a practical baby registry.
Mm-hmm.
I was, and still am, like, very... I don't want a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a lot of stuff for him. Mostly, like, just, like, keep in mind when you're buying toys, like, things that are not a toy are going to be more fun than the toys are.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Like, he currently, we try to make it so that all of his toys fit into a basket that goes underneath the coffee table, and that's all that he has downstairs. And in that basket are tons of toys that have been purchased for him and that are new and fun and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that he likes to play with the most is the end of, like, a roll of, like, paper towels or something. It's like a cardboard roll. Like, so, I mean, just remember that, you don't need as much as you know, the, like, advertising world will make it right. seem like you need.
It will all take up space. So depending yeah. on how much space you have for it to take up should really and, be your deciding factor. And we don't have that much space.
We don't at all. We have a small house.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyways, I'll let you talk about the camera because okay. you did all the research
yes.
and picked and
so,
the one we've
bought. We did a lot of research on the camera. We have an old house, but we've turned it into somewhat of a smart house. So we were looking for devices that could, like, connect to, we have a Nest Hub, which pulls up, you know, you can watch videos, listen to music, that kind of stuff that you can talk to. And we wanted something that could talk to that. And there's quite a few out there, but we ended up buying a 3-pack of the Nest Cams. They're not specific baby cameras, but they are indoor cameras. And we bought the 3-pack because we didn't think we needed anything that was smarter than that.
Mm-hmm.
We can always pull it up on our camera, on our phone, and it gives us 3 hours of backup, unless you want to pay for more, to watch things that happened in the past.
Which is super fun.
Yeah.
Because when we're like, oh, he's kind of cranky. Like, did he sleep well last night? Like, we can go and see, like, the last 3 hours of his movement.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, whoa, he moved a ton. And
right.
we can even, like, see the, like screenshots of what he was doing.
Right. Which is also funny to look at.
Which is hysterical, and I screenshot it on my phone a lot.
Yeah. But the other reason why we went for that was because the Nest Cam came in a 3-pack, and we knew that we travel relatively often. So we wanted to have one that was dedicated for his room.
Mm-hmm.
One that we could dedicate to maybe another space or another part of the house. Sorry. And then one that we could travel with our pack and play that we could easily hook up.
Yeah, like we used to have one in his crib, in his bassinet, and then one that we kept with the pack and play.
Mm-hmm.
So that it was always, it wasn't like we were having to take things and move it a ton.
Right.
I think the only downfall of that is we mostly use our phone to be able to view it. And so you can't use your phone when the video is up.
Right.
So you've got to kind of decide what's important to you.
Right.
And then, you know, it's connected to Wi-Fi. So, like, you have to have, like, a good, strong Wi-Fi network that is always up and running, which I think is a downfall for a ton of people. So that is a concern for you or whatever. Don't go this route.
Yeah. Well, there's also some very smart ones out now. I can't remember the name. It's thinking, is it a Noom? Is that the one that has, it's got, like, a, like, when they're young, they have a sleep sack, and the sleep sack, it monitors the sleep sack and the breathing rate.
Right.
And there's all sorts of cool stuff out there that you could do. We just didn't want to spend that much money on it, and but still wanted to have something that would serve our needs.
Right. We almost got that one, or, like, the Owlet, the sock that, like, tracks their heart rate, which is what this one does, too, like, if they're breathing. But again, we're, like, not super concerned. Like, we're concerned. I don't want us to
sound
like
that. Well, we also talked to some friends who had some of these devices, and they said, yeah, we used it for a short time, but, you know, like, our friend Caitlin, who Natalie used it, I think she kicked it off.
Right.
Like the Owlet
and
all the time.
And
that could be panicky because it sends off an alarm because it can't recognize the heart.
The only time that I was like, man, I really wish that we had that was when he did have RSV and we were trying to go through that. Otherwise.
Yes, but we did have a Nest Hub in our room. So we could live stream the video the whole night and we had the volume up so we could hear him if he started coughing or if he started crying.
Right, so we didn't have to have our phone for that.
Right.
And we have one in the kitchen as well, so, like, most
when
of the time
kitchen,
it's just kitchen. Up there.
When we're cooking in the kitchen.
But it's also nice because it has a pretty wide range, and like Michael said, we love doing home projects, so if we're outside in the backyard while he's napping, it's not like we'll lose signal if we, like, are in the backyard.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the other, like, big ticket item is our stroller, and I love our stroller. We picked it out. It's like a jogging stroller, and we picked it because our neighborhood, we live in Richmond, and the sidewalks are terrible, like, so terrible. Tree roots and stuff have, like, broken it up and everything.
Yeah.
And we felt like we needed a jogging stroller, not to jog, but to get over sidewalk paths.
Agreed.
But I wish that we had maybe gotten one that was a little bit more portable, because we are, like, back and forth to the Outer Banks a lot and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Agreed. The other thing that you should have maybe multiple of if you travel as much as we do is a sound machine. And there are quite different variations in the two that we have, one of which doesn't get very loud, but the other uses batteries and uses batteries for a long time and can also be plugged in. So we travel with that one and just use batteries for, like, I think it survives for a couple weeks on batteries. But having more than one is definitely useful.
Well, yeah, the way that we've done sleep, sound machines are crucial.
Yeah.
and blacking out his room. But again, that's all in the practical baby registry.
Yes,
blog post.
Which we will link.
Yep.
Another question we got was, what are some unexpected things about parenting that you learned?
Yeah.
So the first one that I think that's hit, maybe it's just most recently because it's he's now one, but is like pressures on milestones. Like, hey, your kid's one now. He should be walking. He should be doing this. He should be,
yeah.
You know, those are things that I think society puts on us. And I just don't think it's that important to focus on because when they're ready to learn, they will learn.
Yeah, I had some friends who had a baby very close to Niall's age, and so we were always, like, if they posted, like, oh, he's crawling on Facebook, and I'd be like, oh my god, like, why isn't he crawl, you know, that kind of thing. But the more that we've gone to, like, doctor's appointments and, you know, the more that we've read and whatever, it just, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, our doctor, over and over again, like, he's healthy, you know, like, don't worry about it. Or I think, too, I struggle a lot with, like, feeding and how much he's supposed to eat. And that probably goes back to, like, him not gaining weight well when he was first born. But it just, you know, there's so many right answers when you're a parent, I think, is, like, the big thing.
Yeah. Another thing that we thought a lot of was that we had to figure out was to work from home, especially recently, with someone who's moving. And if you hear that rustling, that's him moving. So just in the last 2 months, he started crawling, and he was, like, on his belly for a while. Now he's on his knees. And for his birthday, he got a walker. So,
which he loves and literally does, like, laps around our downstairs.
He does.
But, yes, it was definitely way easier to work from home when he was, like, immobile. Or I could put him in his bouncer. Or he would just lay on his playmat and just kind of hang out while we worked. Now it is like, what has he gotten into? Can I catch up with him? No, I can't type on my computer because he wants to snack it. Like,
yeah.
It's just, it's a lot harder now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of goes back to parenting during quarantine. The original plan was to be able to have someone who came to our house, you know, fairly regularly so that we could, you know, have office hours and make sure we got work done, where we can't really do that now.
Yeah.
So
what was the statistic
that's just
you
like
looked up?
Life being hard. Oh my God.
What was that statistic?
That was another person posting. The average stay-at-home parent during quarantine, or the average parent working from home during quarantine, gets 3 minutes and 24 seconds of uninterrupted work time at a time.
Mm.
So, like, currently while we're doing this, Michael is trying to, like, wrangle Niles. Wrangle. As he's, like, pulling everything out of our office drawers.
Yeah.
So, like, this is a very good example. Like, 3 minutes and, you know, 24 seconds is just not a lot of time.
That's the average, too. So you got to think sometimes it's slower than that. It's less than that.
Oh, a lot of times it is.
It's the 2 hour naps he takes that makes up for how slow it is.
Yeah, and I'm very thankful that it's both of us. I don't know how people who are working at home by themselves are doing this with a small child.
Right.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So we feel ya.
So another thing that's come up that we decided at the beginning that we wanted to do was to have no technology toys or, like,
battery operated
toys for the first year and see how it goes. And if you hear any noises behind you, that's just him playing with something that's not battery operated and having the time of his life. So I think it was a healthy decision and a decision we like to choose to keep these, you know, battery-operated toys. And now that he's won, we've given him a few, and he is obviously very enthralled by them. But I think it was a good decision to do the first year without any battery-operated.
Yeah, I like that we did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think another big hurdle, I guess, was, like I've referenced a couple of times now, he really struggled to gain weight. And I originally was hoping that I would be able to breastfeed solely for at least, like, 6 months to a year. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, let's stay focused here. Okay, so
come on, Niall.
Let's see how many times we have to pause this and try and entertain him with something else. Okay, anyways, I really wanted to be able to breastfeed, and I had talked to a lot of people, and like I said, I had read like a couple like mental health books, I guess, of like, you know, managing your expectations for what your body will be able to do and will look like and will act like and whatever, post-pregnancy. And I felt like I was ready to be able to say, like, okay, if the doctor says formula, that's fine. But it happening is like a whole nother thing. And really, I think my lowest point was that I was breastfeeding him and pumping and still having to give him formula. So it was like literally almost all day I was either actively feeding him, pumping to be able to like make hopefully some more milk that maybe he didn't take out of me, or, you know, giving him a bottle, feeding formula, washing bottles and doing all that. So it was so time consuming and just so, oh, hi. And just like so energy draining.
Yeah.
Michael often would come into a room and I would just be hooked up to the pump crying. And it was just really hard. So we eventually just decided to make the decision to stop breastfeeding and to go to formula entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that was another one of my like biggest struggles with parenting, is that I have rheumatoid arthritis. And so I wasn't able to be on my normal medication, while I was breastfeeding,
mm-hmm.
so that it was, you know, as healthy for Niles as possible. And so I, during pregnancy, I wasn't on medication either, but I kind of went into remission, with my RA, but after pregnancy, it came back and it came back hard. So there were days where, I would go to pick him up out of the crib and I couldn't. Like my wrists are unfortunately one of the things that are the worst. And so even just being able to hold him was sometimes more than I could do, picking him up or doing that kind of thing. So that was very emotionally draining.
And I think as a husband and, you know, seeing it from the other side, you know, it's not something that you can really prepare for from my side either. Like, you don't know, you know, how your wife's going to react to it. And especially doing all three of them, pumping, breastfeeding, and supplementing, all, like, those are the three ways you feed a child, and you had to do all three of them. So, it's...
Yeah. To be clear, I chose to, you know,
right.
Like, obviously that was a choice of mine, but I felt like that's what I was supposed to be doing. And so finally, just with my mental health and just physical health of having RA on the line, we just decided to go fully with formula. And he's fine. You
yeah.
know, like, he's a chunky, cute little baby.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was definitely a decision that I think was a good one for our family. But, you know, certainly this isn't a issue or a problem that many people run into, you know, having a disease that'll stop you from being able to do things. But it is, you know, breastfeeding versus formula and, you know, how your body is changing and reacting to things is definitely a huge one for a whole lot of new moms. So I think just making sure that you're, you know, ready and open to change and listening to your doctors and
mm-hmm.
It was just big for us.
So. Yeah. And then the last question that we've gotten quite a few people ask about as well is, how do you take his monthly pictures?
Oh, yay, a more fun thing.
Yes, we thought we'd end on a fun thing.
So I knew that I wanted, you know, Pinterest, I feel like, has, like, told moms that they basically have to do this. take monthly pictures and, like, be able to create a cute little grid of it. And so I, like any good Pinterest mom, decided, you know, the place that we would do it and how we would do it and whatever. I knew I definitely didn't want one of those mats where you had to like circle the age because it drives me nuts when pictures aren't cropped nicely with those blankets. and so we decided to do all of them on our bed on just like a white quilt just to make it like nice and clean. And I originally wanted him to be wearing like the same, like white onesie just so that it was like really plain and clean, which I love the pictures of him in that white onesie, but I wish that I had changed clothes every month. So I think when he hit like 6 months, I decided to start just like putting him in different clothes. And I wish I had done that from the beginning. So we did that. And then because I like and the most indecisive person ever, we did it with like an elephant to be able to like see his size change. We did it with a letter board, and we did some like in his room, sitting on like the chair in his room. So that's my indecisiveness. But I think that it would have been totally fine, and probably if I went back and did it again, I would have just taken a couple of him sitting on our bed in different outfits each month.
Yeah. Well, I think the marquee board is good as well. I think it's fun.
Yeah, it's cute.
To keep that in there for some of them.
Yeah. Definitely when we're taking him, it has to be both of us. Right. Because wrangling him, like, especially now, like, he's so quick. And so one of us is taking pictures, and then the other one is making sure he doesn't fall off the bed. And it's making, like, funny noises. And
he doesn't want to sit still.
That is 100% true. So, yeah, there's that.
And we did all these photos with our professional camera, but that's not something you need to do. The main thing that we wanted to focus on was him, so we took out as much distraction as possible. Excuse me. So all of our photos were in a similar space, like on the bed with nothing behind him, and or in his room with him sitting on his chair with nothing behind him.
Good light.
Yeah.
Yes. If you're interested in, like, tips or more information on how we do monthly pictures, just let us know. We're happy to help and give more information about that. But
yeah,
we do use our professional camera for those monthly pictures, but we don't most of the time.
Yeah. If you are on our Instagram, our personal Instagram, then almost all of those pictures that we take there are just with our phone. So
yeah, so we created an Instagram account just for family pictures, basically just to be able to, one, spam people with Niles who wanted to be able to see him and not, like, overrun our business page with that. But then mostly because it's connected to chat books, which is what I use for, like, you know, keeping track of his monthly pictures. I don't really keep a baby book. That's kind of my baby book, except for my Promptly journal, which I also love. So that was suggested to me by a few people when I was asking about baby books, and I really like it. It's really simple and easy to fill out. It's been monthly, and now that he's a year, it'll just be yearly through his 18th birthday. So I like that it's, you know, it's not a lot. It's just questions that I answer. Some of them are, like, a little bit repetitive. It has a big space for you to, like, just openly journal, which isn't really my vibe. So mostly I just, like, write down milestones if I remember them. Or I go back onto my camera roll to where I took a picture and then record the date from that. Pro tip.
Yeah.
But I love that journal. And then our chat books are just, like, priceless.
Yeah.
Certainly not, like, pro level, but it's fun and quick and easy and inexpensive, so it's perfect for us.
Yeah. So that was our first year with Niles.
Yeah.
If you guys have any questions or want to ask any other questions, we'd be happy to answer them.
Oh, and then I guess I should say one more thing. We were going to include our 1 second a day video.
Yes.
So this is probably my favorite thing that we've done. Someone recommended to us, I forget who, I wish that I did so that I could say thank you to them, to do the 1 second a day app and record a video each day and put it into the app. It's super easy, and it is just, like, my favorite thing to go back and watch. So we'll include that too.
Yeah.
But it's adorable, and I love it.
He's really cute.
And they have a new app now, and it's, like, way easier than in the first, like,
six way back when, like, we started. All those months ago.
Old parents.
That's right.
Anyways, let us know if you have any questions. Thanks for listening.
See you guys.